Back now on Total Information AM Saturday. Stuart McMillan filling in for Scott Jago this weekend. You got me for a whole weekend, folks. Missouri Department of Conservation says hunters are needed right now because of CWD and EHD. They're a threat to the herd. So I spoke with KMOX outdoors expert John Winkleman about this, and he's going to break it down for us. John's been writing about outdoor news and issues in Jefferson County for more than 30 years and was the associate editor for Outdoor Guide magazine.
The thing is about the two, chronic wasting disease, epizootic hemorrhagic disease, EHD.
That's a $10 word,
right? It is a $10 word. But when you just talk about CWD and EHD, people think, well, they must be the same because they're three-letter acronyms.
But they're not?
And they're not.
Oh.
EHD, hemorrhagic disease, has been around a lot longer than chronic wasting disease. It is transmitted by a bite from a small fly, a midge, think of gnat. And when we have drought, dry conditions like we've had this summer throughout and around the state, the deer going to get drinks to find water are somewhat concentrated. That's also where these midges, these tiny flies and gnats, reproduce. And so they're getting bitten by these flies that transmit the disease to them. One of the symptoms, so there are several similar symptoms between the two, but one of the symptoms is that with EHD, the hemorrhagic disease, the more common or the one that recurs, is they feel thirsty. And so they go to a water source, and that's generally where they find the dead animals, the animals that are dying from the disease. Almost all deer that get EHD are going to die from it. Some do survive and develop immunity to it. That is the difference with a difference to chronic wasting disease, to several differences. Chronic wasting disease takes a long time to kill the deer from the time that it gets that disease. So it could take 18 months, 2 years after it contracts the disease before it dies, before it starts acting lethargic, before we find it dead in the woods. And the other big thing is that it kills all of them. If a deer gets chronic wasting disease, it will die. Not tomorrow, not next week, maybe not even next year, but within the next couple of years, it'll start showing symptoms and it'll die.
So that one's always deadly.
That one's always deadly. Huh. And it is transmissible from deer to deer. So it's not because of a midge fly. It gets it because another deer has left that in the environment, whether that deer died and somehow the new next deer comes along and comes upon that carcass. If that deer feces, urine, saliva, we see deer fighting, male deers frequently fighting in the fall, trying to separate who's the king of the woods. They're swapping spit, saliva, other bodily fluids. And then we know people who like to feed deer, and I like to feed deer in the past.
Yeah, we like to see them, right?
We like to see them
come in the backyard
can,
and things
of that
nature.
You can put a salt block out in your backyard. And if it's a rural enough area, deer will be attracted to that. They will come to that. The problem is that the first one comes along, licks the salt block. The next one comes along, licks the salt block. One of those deer have chronic wasting disease. There's a chance the next deer is going to pick that up and then go to the next salt block and spread that disease. So chronic wasting disease has the potential to be significantly deadly to the deer herd. It's going to take a long time for it to happen, so people don't see it as dangerous, because you see a deer get EHD or a deer gets EHD within days, you can see it get symptoms and you can find it dead.
Does it really have a blue tongue?
I don't know for sure. Blue tongue. I suspect that there is something, either spots on the tongue, that's the reason that it would get that name. So, but I do not know that answer.
It's not like when you have a blueberry sucker or something.
Not
where it's just like
that.
Absolutely
no,
blue.
I envision it as more spots rather than it turn it blue, that they'd find that on the tongue as part of the disease progression.
CWD, we talked about that before in the past. Does it just eat the brain?
Yes, that's exactly
okay.
Not exactly what it does. It actually turns the brain. It's a a spongiform encephalopathy. And I'm saying these scientific words like I know them. I'm saying them like I know them because I've been dealing with this and writing about it and trying to spread the word about it for decades now, it seems, here in Missouri. But it does, it turns the brain into more like a it looks like a sponge. Instead of the beautiful gray mass that our brain and deer brains are, it gets like little holes drilled in it, so
like
it looks like a sponge. Like, yes, but perfect holes, just like your sponge. You know, you look at a big open cell sponge,
right?
You can see those holes in it, and that's what's happening to the brain.
Wow.
Over a period of several months, years, 18 to 24 months is what they anticipate as the incubation period for that disease before it starts to kill that deer.
How bad are things right now, and do you recommend that people don't put those salt licks out in their backyards?
Well, it's illegal in 85 counties to put those salt blocks out more than 100 feet from a inhabited residence. So yes, you can have one in your backyard as long as it's within 100 feet of your residence, but it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea for the deer herd. It's a good idea if you want to see them in your yard, but then when they're eating your hostas, know who to blame. It's not the deer to blame for eating your hostas or nipping off your tomato plants.
Right.
You ask them to come to the yard.
So, that's true.
But really, the disease transmission exceeds all of that that situation. I love to see them. I love to watch them. Anytime I see them out in the field, I see them out in the grass. They come through my backyard occasionally. Love to see them. I'll stand there and stare at them. But we got to quit concentrating them. They'll walk through your yard, obviously less frequently, but you'll get to see them. And that's the really big issue with chronic wasting disease. They're all big issues to me, but the really big issue is the deer density, how many deer we have. Chronic wasting disease has been out in Colorado since the 1960s. It is not as epidemic there as it could be here because there's so much space. There are not that many deer. There's just not that much food out there. It's rocky hills and mountains. Here, we concentrate. We got 1.7 million deer in Missouri is the estimate. In the last two decades, that's up from a million. So we are not reducing or managing the number of deer in the herd well enough currently. And when you get that overpopulation, that lack of resources, lack of food for them, and just close quarters for them to live in, you're going to get disease transmission. And that's really a big component of what's happening in Missouri.
We're heading back outside with John Winkleman, who we spoke earlier about the effects of EHD and CWD on deer. So what's the solution to these deer diseases and the growing deer population in the state? KMOX's outdoor expert John Winkleman also talks about his favorite way to prepare deer on the table.
Just not sure that recreational hunting is going to be able to
keep up with it.
Yeah. Right now, and part of it is everybody wants to go out and shoot that big buck. We have trained ourselves that what we want is the trophy. When we sit and wait, we pass deer walk by, let her go, let him grow. That's just allowing that population to go up. We said the estimate 1.7 million deer in Missouri. Hunters might kill 500,000 of them in a year. That's more than we will. But if we do the math, I'm good for easy math. We take 500,000 from 1.5 million, that still leaves 1 million of them. Half of those are does. They're all going to have babies. Just like that, they've replenished the stock. Most does, adult does, 2 and 3 year olds, are having twins. So they're not just replenishing the stock, they are overpopulating the deer, and that is causing disease. It's going to take, if we cram a bunch of people into all in one room, somebody's going to get sick, and other people are going to get sick too. So,
would you suggest that the hunting season be longer?
More
tags?
All of those things are happening. What needs to happen for hunting to have a greater impact, and hunters are the best conservation, best management tool that we have. What needs to happen is they need to be filling those tags, making those tags. That's just a couple years ago, they started the antlerless only early season. Take advantage of that. Go ahead and put a deer in your freezer and then go hunt for that super big trophy. The opposite is how most people do it. They wait and wait and wait for that big trophy, and then when they don't get one by the end of the season, we'll just take the next one that comes up. If they reversed that strategy, more hunters reversed that strategy and said, I'm going to get a deer,
take one,
have it in
first.
The freezer,
yep.
And then I'll wait for that better, best, excellent shot. And those opportunities exist. There are plenty of tags for hunters to get the more and more deer in the freezer, or to the Share the Harvest program. You say, how many deer can I eat? Well, that's right. One is about enough for me and my family throughout the year. But you can go to places like John's Butcher Shop. There are multiple places that will take the whole deer. They actually have funds that pay for the processing. You don't have to pay for the processing. You donate a whole deer. They have funds to provide that meat to food pantries and organizations like that, and you can't eat it, but somebody will. And any deer that goes to the Share the Harvest program donated is tested. You don't pay for that test, you don't pay for the processing, but what you're doing is feeding people and helping the deer survive.
So if you could hunt all year long,
yeah.
Just hypothetically,
yeah.
Would that cause less hunting? Or would that encourage more hunting?
Certainly there would be people that would take advantage of that.
Every weekend but they could be going. July, I mean, there's deer out there, right?
Yeah, but sitting outside in camouflage in 100 degree weather.
That's a good point.
On.
I didn't think about that.
And really the deer movement and the deer activity you see most as through that fall season. So the season is already set to be the optimal time for hunters.
They're on the move.
The other thing is, and then in the spring, it's nice enough weather in the spring, but that's generally the season when newborns, I mean, they're born late May, early June for the most part. They are coming back from surviving winter. Give them a little chance to strengthen the herd before we start going back to managing the herd size.
And you know, there's teams out there like Navy SEAL type teams that go out there and gun down a bunch certain areas. I know Town and Country in the past had kind of a, what do they call it? Culling. Oh yeah,
postseason targeted culling.
Yeah,
and or in a, not postseason, but in areas where the population density exceeds the carrying capacity of the land, you have to do something. And people talk about birth control, and they're difficult things to administer when really we've identified what the issue is. We know that the issue is that there are too many of them for the landscape to handle. They're getting hit by cars, they're causing wrecks that have people crash into each other in cars,
yeah.
And they're spreading disease among themselves. Those are reasons that it needs to be controlled.
And the hostas.
And the hostas, yeah. You got to protect your hostas and your roses. And they'll eat anything. When they're hungry, they'll eat anything.
They're coming for your hostas.
The thing is, in places like Jefferson County, where we know it is, on the farm where I hunt, I know there's chronic wasting disease there because I've killed two. My neighbor, the neighboring property to us, has one of those. 65 in that area in Jefferson County, so we know it's there. In those areas, as many deer as we can take out of there, the less chance of the disease spreading.
So you're hunting with a purpose.
I'm hunting with a purpose.
You're wanting to take out
fill the freezer is still number one,
right,
in my
fill
book.
The freezer.
Having a trophy to hang on my wall, also like that idea
whether
too.
Whether it's got a brain or not,
whether,
who cares?
Whether its brain is spongy or not, I'm not really so as worried about that. But I also am hunting to protect the other deer that don't currently have the disease from catching it from one that does.
Just one last thing on how to eat them. So, because a lot of people, you're just shooting for sport and things like that, but they're really good to eat. So what can you get out of a deer? What is there, like steaks and chops?
So
or what can you get out of it?
And people can do whatever you can do to other animals for processing, but I only take the chops. People call them backstraps. I think that kind of degrades the name of them. They're boneless chops. Think of them as boneless chops. Mm. I take that piece and everything else I grind as either hamburger or pork sausage, some sort of sausage that way. So anything that you make, hamburgers, just patties, spaghetti, chili, stroganoff, any of those things that you make with ground beef, ground venison, is a much leaner, healthier, lower cholesterol option.
I'm sure there's some protein in it.
Oh, it's all protein, yeah. Super protein.
Is it high?
Oh, yeah. Oh, super high protein. And when we talked about the Share the Harvest program and that lean protein going to those families in need through the food pantries, that's the hardest thing for families to buy. They can go and buy bags and pounds of noodles, but if they want a pound of ground beef, it's expensive stuff. Yeah. So
even to get like just some sliders.
Yeah. They have to make some tiny burgers.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So that's really helpful for our community in doing that and providing that protein for those families in need through approved pantries. So this is not some fly-by-night option. Deer hunters will donate tons of deer meat this fall again for families through the Share the Harvest program.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, we'll have to catch up with you when there's some numbers to pass along during the season, because you always do a good job of collecting all the data and everything.
I will certainly have new numbers once the season starts. The department keeps track of them, but the real annual will come up probably in the spring. It'll be March or April before we know all the numbers brought together. But as it gets identified in Jefferson County and around our St. Louis region area, I'm always happy to talk about it. Wish we had something else to talk about, but it really is the biggest threat to deer herd in Missouri since market hunting.
John Winkleman, he's been writing about outdoor news and issues in Jefferson County for more than 30 years and was the associate editor for Outdoor Guide magazine.